Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snowell, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. As we travel the world for past, present, and future stars, as we deal with the interviews, the legend tales, the boxing history from the past, the present, and the future stars. But before we bring in our radio aficionado that takes us around the world, we want all our fans out there to tune into the World Boxing Review around the world to wish our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, a happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and many, many more. Welcome into the World Boxing Review, Bob.
Thank you very much. Yes, my birthday was yesterday. Turned the page on another year, but hey, man, I'm healthy and happy, and that's what's important. So, man, I feel good. So thank you, and everybody else, too. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
There are lots of things going on, but go ahead, yeah.
We have lots of things going on, and we're supposed to have a surprise guest this morning on the show with us, so when that happens, Bob, you might be on that carpet ride zizzing, and we'll pause for a moment if you're not finished and see if we can get this surprise guest on your birthday, Bob, a little birthday treat. Sometimes, you know, it's the internet and all that, and sometimes things don't happen like it's the way it should happen, but God willing, we'll see if it happens, Bob. We'll see if it happens. But
great.
What do we got going around the world here?
Well, you know, a big one tonight, man. We start at the streets of Tulsa, Oklahoma, USA. The Zone will be there and Canal TV for Latin America. But it's a historic fight, historic battle for the WBC, WBA, WBO, IBF, and IBO World Female Welterweight title between the 36-0 with 9 knockouts Cecilia Breakers and Jessica Catskilla. She's 8-2 with 3 knockouts, and she is also the current world WBC, WBA super lightweight title holder, too. And the big thing, the big historic part of this fight tonight, this would be Breakers' 26th title defense. She wins tonight, she will surpass the great Joe Lewis, who defended his title 25 times. So, man, that's a big fight tonight. Excuse me. Okay, right, man. I don't choked up on that.
because that's a hell of a milestone. You know, Larry Holmes came close to that milestone, you know, with Joe Lewis. And, you know, that's some kind of mark in history when it comes to that heavyweight division of championship boxing for the heavyweights. But go on, Bob. Finish up.
Yeah.
If you got yourself together, sure. You know it's your birthday. We don't want you to croak out right now, baby. We don't want you to croak out a day after the old birthday, baby. Don't croak out now.
Hey, also on that card in Tulsa, we have a super welterweight clash between Israel Madrimov, he's 5-0, and Eric Walker out of Louisiana, who's 20-2. Showtime is back on the air tonight, too. They'll be in Uncasville, Connecticut, in that bubble there at the Mohegan Sun Casino for the WBC World Super Middleweight Championship fight between the title defender, David Benavidez. He's 22-0, 19 knockouts, and the challenger, Romer Alexis Angulo, 26-1, 22 KOs. And the co-main event there is Rolando Romero, 11-0, 10 knockouts, versus Jackson Marinez, 19-0, 7 KOs, and that's for the interim WBA World Lightweight Crown. Also, heavyweights, Otto Valle, he's 20-1, 13 KOs, and Redding's own Travis Kaufman, 32-3, 23 knockouts. They meet up, as do heavyweights Carlos Negron, 20-3, and Jonathan Rice, 13-5-1. And the opening act for Showtime tonight is Alante's Fox, 26-2, versus Habib Ahmed, 27-1-1. It's a super middleweight matchup. Wyndham, New Hampshire, tops their bill with lightweights Rudy Ochoa, 9-0, versus Augustino Moritz, 6-7-3, squaring off. Daytona Beach, Florida, will present, along with Tyce Sports TV out of Argentina, the clash for the vacant WBA International welterweight crown between Alberto Ignacio Palmetta, he's 13-1, and Trayshawn Wiggins, 11-4-3. Also, is Francisco Emmanuel Torres, 14-3, versus Cleovis Pandaris. He's 21-5-2 with 9 KOs, and that's for the open WBA Fede Caribe super middleweight strap. across the state in Clearwater, the Andre Mangushev versus Cortez Reed cruiserweight contest ends the night there. ESPN Plus and BT Sports TV will be at the BT Sports Studio in Stratford, London, UK, for a card featuring Archie Sharp, 18-0, versus Jeff Ofori, 10-2-1, for the WBO European Super Featherweight Crown. Trey Williamson, 14-0-1, 11 KOs versus Harry Scarf, 8-1, for the IBF European Super Welterweight Belt, as well as Michael Conlon, 13-0, versus Sofiane Takuch, 35-4-1 in a featherweight fray. And Carl Frampton, 27-2, 15 knockouts to Jackal. He's staying busy crossing the ropes with fellow lightweight Darren Trainer, who comes in with a record of 16-3, 7 KOs. The only other action in Europe tonight is in Jekabpils, Latvia, where the night ends with the heavyweight battle between Luisa Loazu and Articio Cherniakovic. Also on the Pacific, we have at Lake Piro in New Zealand, cruiserweights Joshua Francis and Corey Enoka duke it out. And in Busan in South Korea, they have Dae-Yong Lee stepping in with Minguk Ju in the super featherweight finale. And Rizhao, China, has a four-card fight of four-rounders topped with the super fight matchup of Zhang Qiu versus Diojian Xiao. And just one other note, too, we wanted to just spread the news that WBA President Roberto Mendoza has tested positive for the coronavirus this past week. He's going to be working at home. But there is, again, the coronavirus still working its way through. Also want to tell people, too, that Peter Nelson, the longtime head of HBO Sports, he's going to be leaving within the next month or two. And we know Nelson, he was involved with the boxing there and brought it along and also killed it back in 2018 after 1,000 fights in 45 years on the air. But he's going to be leaving. And one other thing, too, we got our first million-plus viewers for a boxing show. That was Fox's show last Saturday night with Jamal James and Thomas DeLorme. It peaked at 1,224,000 and averaged 1,076,000. So that's a good number there for a fight with a couple of guys who weren't really that well-known, too. So Fox did a good job of getting some numbers up there for regular TV.
Well, yeah. Hey, that's where, you know, TV like that, public channel, the numbers should be high, soaring, Bob. And we want to congratulate them for bringing them numbers high up like that. You know, people were watching, and that's a good thing. And, Bob, our deepest prayers goes out to our great president of the WBC, Mauricio Suleiman. Men, we pray that you have a speedy recovery from this, and is that it don't worsen or anything like that. We need you, brother. We need you. We need you. He's been, him and his father, Jose Suleiman, have been terrific for the sport of boxing. And they've been on the cutting edge of the sport for decades. So we need you. We need you, brother. And so we keep our prayers out for you. And Benavidez lost his WBC title on the scale. So we're talking about the WBC. He lost his title on the scale, Bob, at Mohican Sun. The fight's still going to go on, but he was overweight, and he couldn't lose that weight. So he lost the title on the scale. So the fight, they're still going to fight. But the title is gone. He lost it. So that's something to look at when a fighter. And it's tough, like we all the time said, at this time to be training underneath these circumstances, Bob. You know, the gyms are not open. It's hard to get to the gyms. And we said earlier, months ago, is that a lot of titles may change hands because of that, where the gyms are not open. Guys are used to training certain gyms now. They're under different training circumstances and stuff like that, and they can't get it in at the right time. So things happen, and it looked like he couldn't make it.
Right, good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also, well, we were talking about it too in the last couple of weeks, but it's official now too that the Mike Tyson and Roy Jones exhibition match has been moved now to November 28th. It's going to be part of the Thanksgiving weekend here in the United States. But we were talking about that September 12th date and the Mexican holiday and all that stuff, and they ended up moving it. And they have added a few more fights now. They're listing Badou Jacques
is going to be in there too. He just lost his title to light heavyweight, a great fight last year with Jean Pascal. But he wants to stay busy, so he's going to take on Blake McKernan, who's undefeated, 13-0. Badu is 22-2-2. Also, announced this week, Vidal Riley, an up-and-comer, he's going to be facing MMA's Rashad Coulter. And the Jake Paul thing, too, had some news this week. His house was raided in Calabasas, California. Apparently, this goes back to an incident in May at a Scottsdale, Arizona mall where there were some protests, and they were filming. Jake Paul's crew was filming this as a documentary, and he was arrested for a misdemeanor for not breaking up, and that was eventually dropped. But people are still wondering why the FBI made a full-on raid on this guy's house. They're looking for, they said, well, we're after the film footage to see what was going on in that, but they pulled some guns out and everything. So it's kind of a weird story. We're not getting a lot of details because the police are saying it's an ongoing investigation. But, man, there's that's kind of a weird story. What's going on there with Jake Paul?
Yeah, well, Jake Paul, the internet sensation, and it looks like he done become more than the internet sensation. He's been becoming the news sensation with a host of guns, coming out of his apartment complex in Arizona. Boy, oh boy. I mean, he draws them in on the internet, so apparently he must have been saying or doing some, saying some things over that internet, and that caused them to investigate. So when it seems like they investigated, Bob, they bring some guns out. My God.
they brought a crew with them to the FBI. They ran it with full tactical unit. It was a wow. What's going on here?
Makes for great boxing news, Bob. One thing about boxing is boxers, they're all the time going to keep it interesting. That's what makes boxing such a great sport, man. You know, guys get the opportunity. But once you start making money and you get fortune, fame, and a name, you got to try to do the right thing. You know, that's the main thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And it looks like Mike Tyson and them are doing the right thing, and him and Roy Jones. I think they sat down and they discussed what was going on, and looked like both of them said, hey, let's buy their time. Let's build this thing up, get in better shape so we can perform better. And this is a great thing for them too. And the more they promote it, the more they keep marketing and stuff like that, I think they're going to draw more people because people are interested in this, you know. And
they are. It is going
to happen, Bob. And the thing about this is, with more time, it gives Mike Tyson more time to pass the marijuana test. maybe that was the answer last week that we were looking for. You know, how was Mike going to pass the test? That came up in the news. How was he going to pass the test? Well, I think they found the answer. Give him more time. If he don't smoke no more weed, he got August, September, October, November, 3 months, because those type of things hang in the fatty tissue of the body, and hopefully him training and losing weight and stuff like that and not smoking, it gets out of his system. But if he's taking this, smoking this marijuana, I don't know, medically marijuana that's prescribed to him by his doctors and things like that, I think he should petition the commission that makes a benchmark in sports for medical marijuana. Do you know anybody that came up with a doctor said he has to smoke this in order to be balanced and to live, or whatever they give it to him for, or give a person that stuff for? Do you know any cases like that, Bob?
No, I don't. No, I don't know anybody with medical cards. No, no. I know it's available in Pennsylvania, though. They do have it.
Yeah,
and, there are dispensaries around here.
Yeah, they have medical marijuana cards. You know, I know a couple guys that have them, you know, because it's prescribed to them for dealing with whatever issues that they have. But none of them athletes, though.
Right.
So this would be a benchmark in sports. if that's the case.
We mentioned last week too that the anti-doping agency, the VADA, has dropped the suspensions too down to a month for non-competitive use of recreational drugs, they call it, which pretty much falls under the marijuana category. But they're realizing too that, you know, the guy gets done a fight, then he might go get high the next day or something like that. But they're looking at what we said too. They look at it and say, look, this is not a performance-enhancing drug. This is not a human growth hormone. You know, this is not a steroid. This stuff will relax you and mellow you out. So why would you want to get into a ring high, you know? So, one of those things.
Yeah. You know, Bob, I want to correct something. You know, it's the WBA president.
Right,
you know,
Mendoza. WBA, right.
Yeah.
Right. I know Dumont, I think, was, yeah, he had something, but he wasn't really positive. But, yeah, Mendoza from the WBA.
It's WBA, which is president, which is dearly a sure friend of mine too, you know, who's been a leader in sports with his father, Gilberto Mendoza Sr. And we're talking about Junior now, who's now the president. And you know, Bob, it's amazing. You know, God bless me to be trainer of the year for those organizations, man. And what great presidents they have with the father-son combination. And man, oh man, this is really.
And your WBA has a couple big fights tonight too. You know, I mean, they're involved with the Breakers fight, but there's also the other one that was going on in the interim for the world lightweight title too, that Romero fight that's going to be on Showtime. And also, you know, we have Otto Wallin and Travis Kaufman fighting tonight, a couple of big heavyweights. You know, we know Wallin, he was the guy who gave Fury everything he could handle, busted his eye up pretty good. And Kaufman, you know, he lost to Ortiz. He hasn't fought in like a year, but this is going to be the first time we're going to see two fighters in the ring that both have survived COVID-19, too.
We want to see how that looks on the recovery end of that. You know, we had Derek Emerson, and we had Kaufman's father on here, and he was talking about recovering from COVID and his son having it. And let's see what the effects of this is. You know what I mean?
Right. To
an athlete, you know, see how it affects both of them in their performance tonight.
That's going to be a good one, too. I mean, now that we have, like you mentioned, the Benavidez fight is no longer a championship fight, but it's still the Showtime show, and that's going to be part of it. So people will get to see these two good heavyweights, actually. Looking forward to that fight. Plus, you know, also we're talking about the women. Big fight next week, too, that Katie Taylor-Delphine Persoon fight's coming up, too. That's the big rematch. And the fight last year was on that undercard where Ruiz knocked out Joshua, but that was a great fight. And Taylor was in trouble at the end of that fight, too, so she might have to play her game a little bit differently this time around. But she was lucky to get out of there with the win, and this is going to be a great fight, too, now, coming up next week. But, yeah, the women fights have started to get back up in the game. Still nothing new on Clarissa Shields and Layla Ali, though, you know, where that kind of went on hold a little bit, so we haven't heard much about what's happening with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob. We don't know, but we're gonna soon find out.
I'm sure they're still talking on somewhere about what's going on with that. You can guarantee the talking's still going on.
Yeah, but in the woman's bout, Breakers, she won, what, weighed in at 145 yesterday, was it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good weight for her. Let's see what happens. See how they perform. Hey, look, women's boxing's out of the chute now. It's going. Things are starting to open up. So let's see what happens. You know what I mean? We'll see.
Oh yeah.
And that's a good thing, Bob. You know, with the women's bout, with them participating in the bouts going on and the championship bouts. So it's really good, you know.
And 26 title defenses. That's, you know, you mentioned that's rare territory there. Rare air.
Yeah, it's rare air, Bob. And Bob, you know, I told you we got a special surprise for you coming in to this thing.
But Bob, without further ado, we want to bring our special guest, our surprise guest that we got last night into the show with Rich Blum Jr., no other than the greatest and the latest, Muhammad Ali Jr. Welcome into the World Boxing Review.
How you fellas doing?
All right, I like you.
What do we got going on? What you doing, champ?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm implementing a program through Ali Legacy Continues. It's called Stop Bullying. And they're doing this because my father was bullied in his time. They stole his bike. And he came, an officer came to him, Joe Martin, and he said that, do you know how to box before you go around picking fights with people? He said, no, but I'm going to whoop him anyway. He said, come on down to the gym, and I'll teach you how to defend yourself. So that way, you know, you come out here and pick fights with people, you'll know how to defend yourself. So that started the whole thing. That's why we're doing what we're doing, because the kids nowadays are getting bullied, and they get depressed, and they want to kill themselves, and they shoot up to school. And that's what we need to stop, because the school is a place of higher learning. And when we were growing up, we had teachers had paddles, so they would whoop you right in school. So
that's right.
We didn't have to worry about all of that. But that's why I'm doing this Stop Bullying program, because it's for kids like that that goes out and try to commit suicide because they're depressed or shooting up a school. So that's the main reason why we're doing the Stop Bullying program, to save our youth, save our future.
Well, look, you're going to do a great job, because not only your father, Muhammad Ali, was a great teacher, he was masterful at teaching. And how do I know that? He taught me. And so is your mother. How do I know that? They did it for me. And let me tell you something, Muhammad Ali Jr., with that name, Muhammad Ali Jr., I know a lot of times people look at you and they got to say, you got to be kidding. So just talk a little bit about that name. You know, it's so great, and your father was great. It's a great name in the religion of Islam. Talk about some of that.
Well, the goal of my intent for two things is, number one, I want to make the world famous. I got to get these people to love each other by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Racism is bad, and it has to be stopped. A lot of people say that I sound like my father. And actually, I'm going to do it for you, because I love you all so much. And being a part of your family is like being a part of my family. So,
okay, yeah, that's right.
Here you go. Well, you are. Tell them we're getting feedback on the radio station. The people around you are going to have to pull away from the phone, because we're getting feedback into the show. Yeah, but yes, sir. Muhammad Ali Jr., just talk, you know, to be a part of my family. You're up there at the Fighters Haven and things like that with your father's training camp. You're up there with Madden and the crew. You know, it's a place you basically grew up at. How does it feel coming back up there and looking around the memories, and with all of this campaign with anti-bullying? You got a website. Legend Continue, Muhammad Ali Jr., legendcontinues.com, with all his bullets. Talk about all of that experience. See if we can pull it all together, you know, because this is something special.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I never thought things would come out the way they are now. I mean, I never thought the police would get defunded, belittled, bullied, killed. I never thought in thousands of years this would happen. I wonder what's happening with the world. What's happening with the people of the world? Where's their minds at? Who's teaching them? Where are they coming from? Because it's like alien to me. what's happening nowadays. Everybody's wearing a mask. You feel like you're in a big, giant hospital. I mean, things are going crazy around here. People looting and shooting and killing innocent people in the neighborhood and shooting kids and stuff. Back in the day when we were growing up, this never happened.
You're absolutely
so
right.
It
didn't happen.
That's why I came to Fight at 7, because things have to change. The greatest got to come back. I got to shake up the world like my father did. We got to make this world the greatest of all time.
Insight. What would your father say? Talk like your father would talk and put some of the antics that your father would put into this thing. Come on with it, Muhammad Ali Jr., the greatest and the latest of all time, Muhammad Ali Jr.
My father would say, what's going on? Why did you defund the police? The police helped me be the greatest of all time. Teach me how to box. What's going on with the world today? This is not right. I got to come back and shake up the world again.
Hey, Bob, what do you think it is, man? Don't Muhammad Ali Jr. sound just like his father?
Float like a butterfly, green like a
I heard you and I was like, oh, my God, listen to the voice. Yes, I can hear what people say. Yeah, you sound like your father, but it sounds like you're doing great work, though, too, as far as getting things shook up again and making people to act right. You know, that's one of the biggest
things.
I'm a
Muslim.
So,
that's
love and easy. Telling us the more
story, my name is no longer Cassius Clay.
There we go.
I murdered the rock, handed the stone, hospitalized the brick. Man, I'm so mean, I made medicine sick. I don't wrestle with a lion. I don't tussle with a whale. I don't handcuff lightning to a thunder jail. Man, I'm so fast, I turn off the light, he's just getting back for the ring to die. That's fast. I'm up here at 5-7, reliving my childhood life. I mean, when I got back, things seemed very different. I mean, you know, when you're a kid, everything seems a lot bigger. I got up here,
right.
I was like, man, this thing seems a lot smaller than what I basically used to. But, yeah, we're going around the different states with the Stop Bullying program to get the kids to learn how to defend themselves. And I'm going to go to schools, talk to the children about stop bullying and how we could change that and everything and just to get peace back into the world, you know? I mean, you go to school, you don't want to be bullied. You want to learn something. And
when kids go
to school and get bullied, they don't know how to defend themselves, so they go back home and they're quiet and they're to themselves and get depressed. But when I do what I do, I'm going to get these kids in the gym. And I'm going to get them to learn self-defense, you know? So
let me tell you something. Let me refresh your memory up there at your father's training camp. Your mother used to teach us Taekwondo in that gym in that ring. She used to take it up there and she used to play with us doing karate and things. Kalila was something special. Let me tell you. Muhammad Jr., as you well know, you have a terrific mother in Kalila. This exhibit that we take around all around of Jack Johnson, if it wasn't for your mother and father, I would have never knew nothing about Jack Johnson. It was your father and your mother up there on that Skull Hill, Muhammad Ali's training camp, where your father preached and teached, and so did your mother, about Jack Johnson and who he was. And that's how I learned and grew to respect, number one, Jack Johnson, and then to look deeper in it, in that exhibit that we take all over. They were the ones. Yeah, those karate moves your mother used to do and show us flip and teach us up there. She is something special, Kalila, man. She's a beautiful person and a terrific terrific teacher, and I understand, Muhammad Ali Jr., why you're out pounding the payment and for this bullying
thing. I'm going to tell you another reason why I came to Friday 7. Because Friday 7 started the Muhammad Ali experience. And there are people that can come here and feel like they empower the power of Ali. Feel like
that's right.
Ali is with them. Feel like they're Muhammad Ali. You know, kids
that's
have
right.
to look and find the greatness that God made them for. Find the Muhammad Ali within them and live for that purpose. Everybody got the greatness in them. They have to tap into it. And this is one way to do it.
Absolutely. Up there.
Whether it be a boxing ring,
a
karate ring, or any type of ring, and teach them how to defend themselves. So that way they can have self-confidence knowing that if they go anywhere in life, they will not be bothered because they know how to defend themselves. And
you're
can,
absolutely
and
right.
also, in defending themselves, they can also defend their families.
You're absolutely right. But
my brother
let
Rich,
let me
you want to talk to you now also.
Yeah, but Rich, come on in here, Rich Blum Jr., man. Let me tell you, we want to thank you for bringing in the greatest and the latest back up there to the Fighters Heaven, man, and Muhammad Ali's training camp on Skull Hill, man. That's my start, let me tell you. It lays the seed what Muhammad Ali told me a long time ago, Muhammad Ali Jr., father, is that the belief in the oneness of God makes all things possible, and it's a possible world. So he was absolutely right what he says. But what do you have planned, Rich? You know, Muhammad Ali Jr. told some plans. What do you got planned?
Well, Muhammad Ali Jr. and I, we have a lot of plans for the anti-bullying through the organization at www.MuhammadAliLegacyContinues.com. And what we want to do is we're going around to different cities and states and setting up boxing gyms and meeting with the politics and people. And we're going to build gyms for kids that are being bullied where they can go and train and learn a discipline and have some type of confidence and self-esteem. So basically
right.
what we want to do is we want everybody to know that's why we're calling Fighters Heaven home now. And we want people to be able to come up here and stay at the bungalows and the cabins and feel the experience because, you know, Muhammad Ali Jr. and myself, we stayed here in cabin 2 and 3 last night. And the experience we had, I didn't get to bed till 6 o'clock in the morning because we had fight cards going all night outside. We had the great fighters of the past here at the Ali Heaven. Because this is Ali's heaven, man.
Yeah.
He's here still right now following us around, enjoying life with us because he's watching his son do the next best thing to what he did. Take
yeah,
care of
well,
the
let
children.
Let me tell you, man. What, y'all were, you were seeing and hearing those ghosts of the great Bodini Brown, you know. That
Angelo Dundee, everybody.
Yeah. Those walls were talking, and that 1 and 2, you heard Wali Muhammad, one of Muhammad Ali's, his father's trainer, Wali Muhammad, his spirit, his ghost was in there talking to him too. So you know, all of those that Howard Bingham, you know, up there, man, those ghosts are walking around, but they're friendly ghosts. They're, you know, they're
yeah.
not the scary
they hang
ghosts,
out with
but
Casper.
The friendly ghosts. Yeah, Casper the friendly ghost, boy. They're up
no
there and
friend.
They're talking to you, and they're trying to bring the good things out, the good qualities of that mountaintop. Because how do I know? I got some of them up there, you know, through his father. I wouldn't have been a great trainer with receiving all of these Trainer of the Year awards that I received, Boxing Historian Awards. All of these nonprofits for helping people if it wasn't for Muhammad Ali. He planted the
exactly.
seed and not only did that, he used to teach us at night up there. He used to teach us how to box, how to stick and move, how to wrap hands. But most of all, he taught us who God was. And
exactly.
through that God, that all things were possible and things that can change for the better. And he taught us up in that mountain when we were young is stand up for the poor, stand up for the ones that are disenfranchised, the one kicked to the side, the have and the have-nots. He said stand up for freedom, justice, and equality. And I'm so glad that Muhammad Ali Jr. and yourself, and I know my brother's up there with you. He was supposed to come up there with you, Don, because he's the one who got on the phone. He told me, he said, we got a surprise guest. We talked last night. But, man, I want to thank both of you for coming on, man. To create change and stuff like that. When do you think people are going to start being able, I know they take tours, to come up there with and see Muhammad Ali Jr. so he can talk to him, so y'all can start signing people up for this anti-bullying campaign? When does all this happen?
It's happening right now. Our phone numbers are on the website. You can contact us directly. You can get us by email. We have a P.O. box. You can mail whatever you want to mail to us. If you have a history with Muhammad Ali, we want to hear about it. You know, we want to know everything that goes on in people's lives because Ali touched a lot of people, and we want to touch the kids. And if we can have them help us, help the kids, you know, there's a lot of kids that are bullied out there. We want to give them back the confidence and a sanctuary where they can go. And you know what? Fighters Heaven is a place where they can come and get that confidence level back. You are a product of that. Muhammad Ali Jr. is a product of that. And you know what? We need more people like yourself and Muhammad Ali Jr. to help us help kids. Don't give up on the kids because these kids are our future.
Oh, you're so right about that. You're so right about that. Now let's go back over that website again. It's Muhammad Ali Jr. LegendContinues.com. Is that it? If I'm wrong,
no,
correct me, Rich. Come on with it.
It's www.MuhammadAliLegacyContinues.com.
Say it again, Rich. Say it again so our fans around the world.
www.MuhammadAliLegacyContinues.com. All our phone numbers, our emails, and our contact address for our P.O. box in Florida. You can get in touch with us any way you want. You can write us a letter, send it snail mail, whatever kind of mail you want to send it. You can write us call us up on the telephone. If you're a child and your parent allows you, you can call us and tell us what's going on in your school and who the bully is, and let's put him out there and get him some help, as well as get you some help and get you your confidence back so you can go to school and feel safe every day. And we don't have any more shootings in schools and kids growing up to hate everybody, and let's love each other. Peace, love, and joy for everybody. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It's what's in your heart that matters.
That's right. Love makes the world go round. You know? 100%. How do I know? Because I love myself, number one. And number two, I love you because you look like me.
Exactly.
So it's one big love. You only want for your brother what you want for yourself, and that's love, bro. That's love.
That's right.
I love my brother.
Muhammad Ali Jr. is my brother. I love him to death.
I love my brother.
That's right. Rich, let's bring, because this is so good. You know, it's our radio aficionado Bob Murray's birthday that's on there. Let's get some more laughs going on here. Muhammad Ali Jr., man, come on with some of that your father stuff, man. Let's hear some more of that, man.
He said, I wasn't a sentimentalist 3 years ago. When I talked to his wife, and she said he wasn't sentimentalist 2 years ago. His hair is phony and come from the tail of a pony. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Your hands can't hear what your eyes can't see. Rumble, young man, rumble. Who's that great? I'll get him an 8. And you want to go to heaven, I'll get him in 7. I know what I do. I'll get him in 2. Come on, Gorilla, we in Manila. I'm a shock and amaze you, and I've destroyed Joe Frazier.
Hey, happy birthday, Bob.
Muhammad, what was your toughest fight?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday there, Bobby. Happy birthday to you. The greatest of all time. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I could fight in the rain.
Yeah. Well, what was your toughest fight? All these great fights. Who was your toughest fight?
My wife. Never fight again. I heard she took a class with Bruce Lee. And the woman threw me. And didn't know how she do it. And messed me up.
Oh, man. What'd you do against Sonny? What happened with you and Sonny?
You're going to lose your money when you bet on Sonny. If you catch me, you ever catch me getting a fight with a bear, you help the bear.
Well, what happened between you and Floyd Patterson?
The rabbit. I put the rabbit back in the hole. I said, "Dive, rabbit, dive." Kept on hitting me on the back of my head. That's why I call him the rabbit. Rabbit punches. Let me go get him some carrots and lettuce. That's all, folks.
Well, what do you think about Smoking Joe?
Smoking Joe, I'm a picking and poking. I'm a little water on the smoking. I'm a sucking the major, but I'm a destroyer, Joe Frazier. Come on, gorilla, be in the middle.
Hey, Bob. What do you think about all this, man?
I'm loving it. Oh, my God, yeah, it's great. And, yeah, this is fun.
You're not as
good
as you
look. You're doing that, too. So
what do you think about your big upset in Zaire, Africa with George Foreman?
Man, I beat the mummy. I invented the rope-a-dope. My footwork wasn't working too good, so I leaned against the ropes and rest. And that made him punch himself tired. And after he got tired, I said, "George, is that all you got?" Messed him up.
Was he swinging wild?
He couldn't see for a whole year after that fight. He was dreaming about me whooping his butt.
Hey,
George,
we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
You're like a girl.
Look, we have Muhammad Ali Jr., Rich Blum, Don Snowell, and you have our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, on here.
Man, I'm so pretty, I
make
myself jealous.
Oh, man. What happens? Can you get in the bed before what?
Man, I'm so fast. I turn off the light, hit the switch, get in bed before the room gets out. That's fast. George is a big guy. People said he had killed Cassius Clay. But now my name is no longer Cassius Clay. I'm a Muslim. That's my religion. Trust nothing
that's
is
right.
My religion believe.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. So we like to bring Rich back in. Man, Rich, talk a little bit more about this bullying stuff and Muhammad Jr., you come in and let's talk about this bullying stuff because this is important. Y'all doing a great job. And, you know, for people, man, you're going to get a lot of things over with Muhammad Ali Jr. talking like his father, man. It sounds great, man. It shows that y'all put a lot of work into this.
Oh, yeah, the kids love it. You know, whenever Muhammad and myself interact with the kids, it's like Muhammad Ali with the cop all over again. I'm Muhammad Ali Jr.'s cop that's taking him to where he needs to get so we can help these kids and make them in a better place. You know, they don't need to die and they don't need to be beat up on, and they don't need people to lower their self-esteem and their confidence. They don't need to go out and shoot up a school. What they need to do is feel free to get educated, and education is very important, and we need to get kids back in school so they can be educated, because without education, you can't be a football player, you can't be a basketball player, because the one time you get hit and you're out for the season, maybe out for the rest of your life, you can't walk. Education is what's going to make these kids, you know, feel right again. They'll be able to do something else. They'll bounce back quick. But education is where it's at. We want to keep bullying out of the schools so the kids feel safe and they want to go to school every day. And we want to make sure every kid has a meal, whether it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We want to do so much for the kids because that's the future right there. Those kids, they don't need to be out there demonstrating in the street stupidness. They need to be demonstrating positive attitudes for everyone.
You're absolutely right, Rich. But Muhammad Ali Jr., I want to ask you, because a lot of people all the time, you know, your sister Miriam and your other sisters, Jamil and all them, how are they doing, man? You know, y'all have been on the cover of major magazines, the whole family, for a long, long time. So, you know, tell the people how they're doing. Go down their names and stuff, and just talk a little bit about them too, because people want to know about them too.
You know, all my sisters—they're doing fine. They got families of their own. They're trying to take care of, and we all trying to live our life the best we can due to all this stuff that's going on. We all got our own ambitions, goals, and dreams to fulfill, and this is one of them that I have to fulfill of my father, because my father said, one day when I leave and they forget about who I am, you have to remind them. You have to remind them how history is, what I've done to I've laid past for a lot of people. So they have to, everything is important. It has to be documented. So when you get older, you're going to have to carry on my legacy and tell the story so the kids of the world will know, because nowadays, I'm not being taught in school. They're teaching everything else but the truth. So you got to be out there to teach them the truth, because the truth is not being taught.
Absolutely. And your father taught me up there. He told me that history and culture of all our studies are best attractive, best qualified to reward a person's research. And as it takes upon the springs and motives that spell the destiny of the human being. So you're right on it with this kid stuff, this bullying stuff, and you're there, man. That you have to teach it. You know, we try to do it all the time. Just give people a little drops in on our show, and we're glad you dropped in on the show. Isn't that right, Bob? But Bob, let's put you to work on your birthday too. Any questions, Bob, for Muhammad Ali Jr. or Rich Blum?
Yeah. Just so back to the whole bullying thing. You know, the one thing that the kid that's getting bullied. But you know, I think the biggest challenge is the bully themselves. You know, and how do you? I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but yeah, what's the biggest problem you find? I mean, with these kids, is, you know, as far as the bully, rather than the bully, you know, kid that getting bullied.
But like I said,
how do you deal
before,
with the big bad kid, you know?
We need to get people to bring their kids that feel like they're disenfranchised, feel like they're underneath the earth, that we lift their spirits, come to Fighters Heaven, where you could learn to discipline yourself into self-build, stop bullying by learning to defend yourself, and to get the Ali experience, the Ali power, the power of the greatest in you, and lift up your spirits so you could be the greatest too.
Well, let me tell you, Bob, Ali was the greatest, and his son, Muhammad Ali Jr., is the latest, man. This is a great thing that you're doing. And let me tell you, Madden up there, who owns now, who is Mike Madden and them, that Fighters Haven up there, they're doing a yeoman job. Doesn't it look great to keep those cabins the way that your father had it in his day, and how you can go sit on the bed that he sat on and, you know, take the walk around all of those great history, what you're talking about, Muhammad Ali Jr.? them rocks are still there, and they still look the same, man. When you go down the history of boxing, you see Jack Johnson, that big piece of anthracite coal from the coal region up there. You see Graziano, Joe Lewis, and all of those names. You know, isn't that something? That's what your father loved. Come on, brother. Talk a little bit about that, Muhammad Ali Jr. You're up there at the Fighters Haven now. Talk about that, them rocks.
The rocks is important because those are the stepping stones to greatness. Those are the people that carried on their greatness to other people. So that's why we got the rocks up here, to let the people know that these are stepping stones of greatness. You have to follow the greatness to be great. You have to be the greatest that you can be, because we have to live and find the excellence that God made you. So this is where you're going to do it. This is where you're going to get the Ali legacy experience. This is where you're going to get that Ali power, the greatness that God gave him. It's going to run through your veins, go through your family, and touch everybody in your life. So this is where we're going to make that connection. This is Fighters Heaven. This is where the future fighters come to be heavenly, to be great, to be Muhammad Ali.
That's right. They got to come up there to Deer Lake, Pennsylvania, man, up there, Fighters Haven now. Muhammad Ali Jr. and Richie Bloom, they're up there. My brother's up there. I'm from up in that area. I mean, that mountain, Muhammad's Mountain, as we used to call it, Skull Hill, that plateau. You know, your father used to chop the trees down, too. He cleared a lot of that space out to see that plateau across the way.
That was part of his training.
Can we talk a little bit about that? Talk about that, him chopping them trees down, because we all used to do it. Talk about that.
Well, that's where he get out there and chop the trees down. That's a part of training. That's a part of conditioning his body to take the worst of the worst. And he didn't start counting until it started hurting. That's when it really counts.
That's right. If it don't hurt, it don't work. And Muhammad Ali said he feel the pain now, so he wouldn't feel it in the fight.
Like the old saying goes, no pain, no gain. If it don't hurt, it ain't working.
Hey, Aaron.
Well, you got you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Rich Blum again. We want people to know that when you come up to Fighters Heaven, you have a place to stay here. You could rent the cabins up here and stay on the premises, and you can come into the ring and see all the pictures and listen to all the videos here. And you know, we would like, you know, they're here basically for the families and the kids that need, you know, some type of positivity in their life. You know, Muhammad, here at Mount Muhammad, I call it, because this is Muhammad's Mountain. This is what he called home.
This is where Muhammad came to the mountain.
And this is where he started the water, too, because there's no water here. So the best water you're going to get is a nice hot shower here on Mount Muhammad.
Yeah, you know, and Muhammad, that's when the revelations of his Lord came down, because of some of Muhammad Ali's greatest fights that he fought in the 70s. Is that's where he's prepared. When he came out of exile, Khalilah, his wife, little Muhammad, Maryam, his sisters, all of them were right up there, man. The horse, riding the horses and all of that. It was just a beautiful time. And
hey, Muhammad Ali Jr. is still upset about the fact that he didn't get to ride the horses because it started to rain.
I need a horse. I didn't ride the horse.
Anybody in the area of Deer Lake, Pennsylvania that has a horse will be here till tomorrow. Please bring your horse up so Muhammad can ride it.
There you go. Yeah, and let me tell you, your father used to take off that up that mountain on the horse, second to none. Boy, your father could ride. You know,
he taught me how to ride, Bernie.
Yeah,
he taught me how to ride.
Beautiful thing. That's right. Come on, Bernie Pollock.
up there, you know. He used to keep those them horse stables over there, old Bernie Pollard. He was a great dude, man, back then. But it's so great to be able to talk to you two this morning. Last night when my brother got me on the phone and said that he had a surprise for me, it made my day. I was feeling a little down, but you guys lifted me up, and I can tell that y'all are going to be lifting the spirits of these children up like you lifted me up last night. I feel your energy. I feel your passion, what you're going to be doing for these kids. So let's go back over it, Rich. We got to keep nailing this website and give them a telephone number, man. Let them call in now, man. So they can start calling, leaving messages and stuff, Rich. Come on with it, man. Come on with that website. Come back with a telephone number so they can get with you, man. Don't let them get it off there. Nail it right now, brother.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go www.MuhammadAliLegacy.com. What I want to do is I'm going to give you a phone number. It's 561-699-4458. You call that number, it's 24 hours. Either Muhammad or I will pick it up. I have an email address. It's called Rockin' Time, ROCKENTYME, @yahoo.com. You want to email me, shoot me an email, I'll get back to you. You want to text me, text me. You want to call me, call me. No matter what, we're here for you. We love you. We love America. And let's make America happy again, because there's too many people sad out there.
And that's where you can
send
all donations to the email.
We're also looking for sponsors. If people want to sponsor our program, please sponsor the Muhammad Ali Legacy Continues program, because it's for the kids, and we need to help these kids. We want to build these gyms. We want to build this camp. We want to help these kids build their confidence and get back on track, because without the kids, America cannot stay the way it is today. God bless everybody. I love you all. And Aaron, Bob, thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure being on your show. I'm going to turn it back over to Muhammad, and he's going to give you some final words.
Okay, we got 60 seconds. Come on with it.
I'm going to leave you with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And
oh, brother, walaikum
God bless Allah. Everyone.
Man, with those peace beyond the you, those great words that Jesus said to people, we can tell you have the love in your heart. Those great words Moses said to people, peace beyond the you. And most of all, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And, brother, let the blessings and the love that's in my heart shine upon your family like your family has shined upon me. And I greet
Amen.
You back in the universal greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum, raktu barakatu. And, brother Muhammad, anything that I can do to help you like your father helped me, let me know.
I sure will.
All right. And in closing, Bob, well, happy birthday to you, Bob.
Happy birthday, Bob. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
Bob.
Happy birthday. Come from the greatest of all time. Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you for having a birthday, and I hope you have many more.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, thank you for tuning in to World Boxing Review Radio Show, and I want to thank my brother Don Snow for hooking all this up for me too. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Power Don. Yeah, thank you for tuning into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And our radio aficionado who took us on a magic carpet ride, and we got a magical, mystical surprise of Muhammad Ali Jr., Rich Blum, man, and Don Snow, man. We want to thank you for tuning in. Same time next week, every Saturday from 11 to 12. And Henry Hathcock,
Man, we want to thank you. He'll be back next week. Thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
We'll see you later.
Move like a butterfly, sting like a bee, stop bullying, be like Ali.
Done.